Last week's lesson dealt with dealing with past failures. You remember that? And we came to the realization that we do have some past failures, right? We all do. Today we're gonna view the worries connected with the future. Because there's things that tie us to our past, but a lot of people spend countless time worrying about uncertain things in the future. It's been said that a lot of people either live in the past or in the future and thus miss the present. There are many, many answers to the questions that regard with our future in the scriptures. Now, what is your single most, you know, troublesome concern as you look into the future? Think about that. What keeps you up at night? What upsets your stomach as you think about the future? Listen, as you think about what it is that you deal with in your future, I want you to listen to these words from Jesus himself found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Jesus said this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." Well, I can stop right there, and we can have an extra long sermon just on that. Yes. Amen. Oh, I got an amen, but you're not a mom, so you don't count today. The moms have spoken, Moreland. The moms have it, right? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Boy, we try hard, don't we? You know, work out, eat right, sleep, you know, do the right things. But we just don't know, right? We just don't know. The time that has been allotted for us by God is the time that we have. So we can take care of ourselves, but ultimately God has the final say. So who, and Jesus even went there and said, so you know, who among you can, by worrying, can add a single inch to your stature? I mean, I wish I would have been, you know, like 6'4 or 6'5 and could dunk like Michael Jordan, you know? But it, you know, I can't worry about that because it's not going to happen, right? Time came and went for me on that one, and it didn't happen. So why worry about that? So do not worry saying, shall we eat? What shall we wear? Where's our next job coming from? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, Jesus said. Wow. Do not worry about tomorrow. What's your biggest worry about the future? For some, it's to be left alone. I know that, you know, people worry about that. Oh, my goodness, you know, when all my friends are gone and I'm old and my kids are going to be there for me, or, you know, who's going to be there for me? How about for those of you who just won't know or don't know what to do about your future? What should I do next? What next from here? Right? Or how about for those of you who've seen your investments dwindle? Right? You had a nice, comfortable 401k or investments or real estate, whatever the case may be. And because of the economic turmoil that we've been facing, you've seen that just go up in smoke. And you're thinking, how am I going to support myself in the future? I mean, there's talk about the end of Social Security, right? And all of that. So how am I going to do that? What is your worry about tomorrow? It doesn't matter what your worry is about the future. I have for you some steps that you can take that we can all apply to our lives on a daily basis that can help relieve some of that stress and that worry. Now listen, I'm a big proponent of physical exercise, okay? It wasn't always the case, but now I am. And one of the things that I have learned from physical exercise is that you have to constantly train. I'm a big, you know, as you probably have noticed, I'm a big sports fanatic. And teams that win are teams that work hard and train hard. I'm a huge boxing fan. Oh, there's nothing more biblical than two guys in the ring with gloves just knocking the snots out of each other. Did you know that Paul was a big boxing fan, right? He says, I prepare myself not as a boxer, you know, throwing aimless punches, right? He says, I know how to, you know, jab and hook at the right time. But boxers go into intense physical training, not for one day. Can you imagine getting in the gym? Okay, and you train hard for one day and expect to go into the ring with a formidable opponent who's trained for 6 weeks and expect to win? The same is true for our spiritual disciplines. The things that I'm going to teach you this morning are not going to do you any good if you listen to them today, if you say amen to them this morning, and you forget about them as you walk out the door. You have to receive it. You have to believe it. You have to practice it, and you have to live it. If you don't, it's not going to do you any good. So here's the first thing. Number one, as you look into your future and you're saying, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Here's the promise number one, the first promise. God will be with me when I'm in distress. God will be with me when I'm in distress. God walks with you, travels with you. God is there at your best, when you are going through the best days of your life and you're triumph and everything is. But God is also there when you face the flames of fire of uncertainty in your future. God is there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 6. 16 and through 18 says this, and God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be, say this, my people. I love this part right here because it says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. He could have ended it right there, but he didn't. He says, Almighty. Think about how precise that verse is. I will be your God, you will be my people. Not only that, let's take it a step further. I will be your father. You will be my sons and daughters. I will be with you every step of the way, says the Lord Almighty. It doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter the struggles of the future. It doesn't matter the storms that you'll face. God Almighty will be with you. Okay, that was a little delay there. Let's try that again, you know, for the sake of the recording. All right? We'll edit that first one out, all right? We'll edit it out. The Lord says, let's see if I can. Okay. The Lord says, I will be with you every step of the way, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. Wow, that was good. That was good. Took some practice, but we got there, right? Number two. When you're thinking, oh my gosh, who's gonna take care of me, right? Number two, God will watch over me when I'm confused. God will watch over me when I'm confused. How many of you face confusion from time to time? And your name is not Confucius, right? All right. There's some people that should, you know, should be called that. You're Confucius Smith or something, right? Listen. Oh my goodness, right? Confusion is all around us. I mean, we don't live. I mean, people who live in black or white, you know, situations, you know, praise the Lord. But most of us live in shades of gray, right? Every day of our lives. And so that tends to confuse us. I mean, am I hearing your voice correctly, Lord? Am I sensing your will for my life? Am I being obedient, Lord? Do I go here or there? Do I follow this or that? What do I do? Do I follow this career path or that career path? What do I do? Do I move here or there? Do I sell, you know, this house to go to the next one? Confusion. Don't you feel that when you're confused, you feel like you're like walking with a cloud of fog all around you? Right? I mean, it's just, you can't see where you're going. Yesterday, I was able to officiate a wedding. And I love weddings. And the ring bearer, cute little thing. I mean, just the cutest little boy you've ever seen. He was, you know, walking with the pillow. And, you know, he was fine in rehearsal. But when he came outside to actually run through it, he got really scared. And so what he did was, not the greatest thing to do if you're trying to walk on a straight line, he put a pillow right in front of his eyes. I'm trying to see what I can get. I don't want to touch your purses, ladies, okay? So don't worry about that. But let me see. You know, he's walking with, okay. You know, he's walking with like this. I mean, I kid you not, like this, right? And so he's walking. And boom, oh, where am I going? Okay, I'm going that way. That's people who are confused walk around like that, bumping into stuff all the time, right? Here's a pointer that is not on your notes. Whenever you're confused to that point, stop. Because what happens is when you're confused, you can hurt yourself or you can hurt others. So stop. Get it back together and then move on. All right. But God promises to be with you when you're confused. Psalm 32 verse 8 says this: The Lord says, "I will guide you along the best paths." I will guide you. Now the question is, are you willing to be led, right? That's probably the bigger question there. But if you're confused and you yield your life to the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Notice that he says, for your life. Listen, what God will do for me is not the same as God will do for you. It's not a cookie cut, you know, mold deal. God gives you specific things and works with you in specific ways. When you're confused, it's great to you know, if you have a good friend or somebody to bounce things off of. I do that. You know, there's people that I call. Okay, so walk me through this. I'm confused. But that doesn't mean that what they tell you is what you have to follow necessarily, right? Because they can help you out of their own experience. That's the way it worked for them. But God says, look, I will guide you for your specific situation. And so what you do is you grab the advice that somebody's giving you, you know, somebody close and somebody trusting, somebody that you respect. And then you take the application of that. You don't take, you know, everything. You take the application of that. You say, okay, this, I can see this pattern and that pattern and this pattern. That's probably what I can follow. the Lord will guide you. But you gotta want to be led. You gotta want to be led. If the children of Israel would have followed the will of the Lord and the guidance of the Lord, they would have inherited the land, I mean, in 40 days, 42 days. Instead, they follow their own deal 40 years later. All right? 3. God will go before me when I'm afraid. I love that about God. I love that about God. Have you ever had your child, be scared of the night or the dark? They don't want to go in their room, all right? And they say, "Dad, can you go in there and check? I promise that there is a monster in there," right? And they're so certain of that. For those of you who are wondering, that was Michael. Actually, that's Ryan from time to time, too. Like, "Dad, I saw something." Dad, let's talk. I saw something. I said, son. "No, you didn't." "Did you really see something?" You know? I don't want him to turn like to that kid of the Sixth Sense. You saw that movie? You know, that was some scary. Like, vroom. "I see dead people," right? But what would you do as a parent? You would go and open the door, right? And you would turn the lights on, right? You would go in there and see, and look, come here, son, come here, look. Let's look through everything. Is there anything here? No, right? Is there anything here? No. Is there anything here? No. Is there anything under the bed? Oh, my goodness, I shouldn't have looked under that bed, right? Because that's where they throw all the junk, right? But God goes with you, goes before you when you are afraid. And isn't that great about God? That God is not saying, "Okay, just go." Right? That God is not that kind of, not that kind of a father that says, "Okay, there you go." Even when he says, "Okay, go, take the step," he's already there. He's already walked the path. He's seen the path. He has ordained the path. So when you walk, God has prepared the way for you. Do you remember Psalm 23? "You prepare a table for me in the presence of all my..." God is there. Even in the midst of my enemies, God is there. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24 says, "I will provide for their needs before they even ask." "I will help them." Listen to this. "I will help them while they are still asking for help." Oh, if you didn't get like a chill going up and down your spine, you are dead, my friend. You're not, you know, this is like, woo! God is saying, "Look, even before you open your mouth in distress, I already found a way and it's right there. And so don't worry about it." Carmen and I have taken some like crazy, crazy journeys of faith based on that promise alone. I will go before them when they're afraid, but listen, don't worry about it. I said it was going to be a short sermon, and I lied. I lied. Early in my ministry, you know, which means that I was like more crazy than I am right now, because, you know, right now I have a wife and 4 kids and a mortgage and a dog and car payments and all of that. So, you know, you tend to be a little bit more cautious. But back then, when I had like nothing and it was just Carmen and I, I remember, in fact, we were not even, were we married? Yeah, were we married? No, we weren't even married. It's been that long, honey. And so I'm praying one day, and I had just come from Venezuela. We were married. I had just come from Venezuela. It's age. I had just come from Venezuela, and I'm praying one morning, and I'm feeling like so vividly that the Lord says, I want you to go to Chile, South America. And I had just seen what the Lord had done for me in Venezuela. And I tell you what happened with me in Venezuela. I told my dad, I said, Dad, I feel like God is calling me to go to Venezuela and minister. And I was 17 at that time. I hadn't even turned 18. And so you know, my dad called me into his office. He's like, you sure you wanna go? I mean, I said, Dad, I feel like God is really calling me to do this. And I had met a gentleman from Venezuela just about 6 months prior to that, and he gave me his number, and he says, whenever God leads you, young man, you know, to Venezuela, you call me, okay, and I'll take you to a couple of churches, and you can minister there. And so I took that as a green light. I had, I bought my ticket. I have $50 in my pocket, and usually you make all the arrangements prior to departure, correct? All sane, logical people. I bought the ticket and then started calling the guy. And no answer. Ah, it's all right. I have 2 weeks. Not a problem. 10 days, call the guy, no answer. A week before, call the guy, no answer. 5 days before, no answer. 4 days before, no answer. 3 days before, no answer. 2 days before, guess what happened? No answer. One day before, and no answer. The day of, my dad calls me into his office again. He says, son, are you sure? And I said, Dad, I am so sure. And he said, okay. And he prayed for me. He took me to the airport. He put me on a plane. And I traveled from Toronto, Canada, 6 hours nonstop, 6.5 hours nonstop to Caracas, Venezuela. And I get there, and I'm so excited. I am so excited. And I'm waiting for my luggage. You know, the luggage, woo, the carousel comes. Well, where's my luggage? Right? And I say, here I am in a foreign country. I have $50 in my pocket. Everything I own is in that. And so I'm looking around for my luggage. And I find my luggage. Yeah, that's good, right? So I find my luggage, I pick my luggage, and as I'm picking up my luggage, I feel a hand touch me back here. And when I turned around, guess who it was? It was the guy. Now listen, I'm thinking, oh, praise God, as I'm flying from Toronto. My dad was on that phone, you know, working the phones as much as he could, and he found you. I says, praise the Lord, my dad finally called you. And he said, what are you doing here? And I said, my dad never called you? He says, no, I was out of the country for the last 14 days. My flight got here just 5 minutes ago. He says, you don't understand the half of it. My plane trip had been delayed for 18 hours. God took his plane ride and delayed it just for me, 18 hours. So his plane could get there 5 minutes before my, listen. That's not the best of it either. He says, you know what, brother? I lost my luggage. He says, oh, look, I lost my luggage too, and I found it. And he says, I lost my luggage. And I said, well, brother, since now you have found me, you will find your luggage. And guess what? We found his luggage. I will provide for their needs before they ask. I will help them while they are still asking for help. I mean, that could be like a movie right there, right? Don't you think? Well, at least a chapter in a book or something. Fourth, and I'm almost done. Fourth, God will fight for me when I'm attacked. Right? You're going to face some nasty enemies in your future. God promises to fight for you when they try to attack you. One of the reasons why I enjoy reading some of these stories in the scriptures is that, you know, God has a way of always being on the side of the underdog. Have you noticed that? An army of, you know, 40,000, 50,000. Oh, I just sent 300. Right? A fierce and brutal dictator. Oh, send somebody who stutters. Right? Another brutal dictator who's just willing to just cut heads. Send somebody like Daniel. And hey, you know what? Let's add something more to it. Let's throw him on a lion's den. Hungry lions. Just for fun. All right? What the enemy means for harm, God just has a way of taking that and turning it around and boom, right at them. The guy who wants to kill the man of, or the woman of God with sore, the Lord takes that same sore and finishes him, right? The sore that Goliath waved, you know, with so much pride. Come on. God used that same sore to, you know, like do a number. He did more than a haircut on that sucker, right? I mean, he just whoosh. Right? For those of you who have no hair, you didn't get that joke. You know, like, oh. three Hebrew young people, young guys, willing to take a stand for God, are thrown into a furnace that is so hot that when they open the door to the furnace, the people opening the door to the furnace got a backdraft and boom, died instantly. And there they are, three young Hebrew men with a fourth one. Like the what? Like the Son of God walking there. God will fight for me when I'm attacked. God, listen, I cannot tell you. From personal experience, I cannot tell you the times that people have meant harm towards me. Now, when I try to defend myself, I screw it all up. I've done it. So we all do. I got a huge amen from this section over here. Mm-hmm. Been there, done that. Right, we screw it up, and gotta say, man, why didn't you? Come on, right? But when I have decided just to stay quiet, I kid you not, I've seen it every single time. I've seen it every single time. And you don't reach. I mean, the greatest thing in all of that is that God has given me then the ability to go and be one of the restorers of those individuals. Psalm 18, verse 18. They attacked me at the moment when I was weakest. Isn't that the way usually the devil works that way? When you are at your weakest point. Doubt and in fear about the future come when you are at the weakest point. But the Lord says, but the Lord upheld me. Are you feeling better about your future already? I hope you are. I hope you are. It doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter the enemies that you face. It doesn't matter how many they are. If you are yielded to the Lord, if you go your own way, and fit, you know, like the army of God at times, you know, the children of Israel, the Lord said, okay, go, I'm going before you, go, and you'll have the victory. And sure enough, God gave them the victory. But then at times they decided, oh, the Lord has been with me at times before, so I'm going to go fight and then have God join me there. And when God doesn't show up, you know, you're like, oops, you know, that was a big mistake. But if the Lord has led you there, the Lord will uphold you. You can count on that. You can count on that. You can count on that. So your future, just yield yourself to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, just guide me. And fifthly, are you getting this? Is this making any sense? Fifthly, your future. You don't know what, you know, what's there. You're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, can I really do this? God will work in me until I'm completed. That's something that I know about the future. That as I yield my life to the Lord will, what? Complete His work in me. Hallelujah. Until it's done. Yeah. Until it's done. God does not, I mean, I'm on my kids, they know, I'm on my kids all the time. Hey, did you clean your room? And they say, yeah. And then I look at them and say, how clean is it? The tune usually changes at that point, which is funny because I ask the same questions over and over and over and over again, right? So they'll say, did you clean your room? Yes, that's question number one. They know that the next question is, how clean is it? Oh.
check. All right.
Reggie wants to correct me. What's the question?
Is it to my satisfaction?
Is it to my, yeah. Well, that's true. That's the question. But it's you know, you can draw the right? You can, how clean is it? Is it to my satisfaction? I see the connection, don't you? I see it. Which means, is it to my side? Is it clean? So basically, did you dust? Did you pick the garbage from underneath your bed? Did you, you know? How are your gavetas? Does anybody know what gavetas are?
Basura.
No, not basura. Gavetas are the drawers, you know? Those are like the only Spanish words my kids know. I mean, it's a shame. They know gaveta. I clean the gavetas, you know. I need somebody, since Reggie was good enough to stand and add to my sermon. I need somebody to read this for me. Can you go to the next screen? I need somebody who's brave enough to read this for me, with some conviction. Number one. You'll take it?
All right. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep it at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears.
Amen. It doesn't, you know, the future, this much I know. Paul says there has never been a slightest doubt in my mind, this is from the Message, that the God who started this great work in you, I love this, would keep at it. Right? He'll do it once, you mess up, he'll keep at it. You mess up again, he'll keep at it. And that's what I tell my kids. I tell my kids to say, hey, did you clean your room? Is it to my satisfaction? If it's not, keep at it. Keep working at it. You don't get something in your math, you know, keep at it. You don't get something in your relationship is falling apart, keep at it. Your business, your career, your relationship with God, keep at it, because God keeps at it with you and will bring it to a flourishing finish, completion, conclusion, to its totality on the day that Christ Jesus appears. That, my friends, is great hope for the future. And all God's children said,
amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I want to apologize because I promised the moms that it was going to be a short sermon, but you gave me all this extra stuff, and so it's on you and not on me. But I pray, oh God, that this word would really transform hearts and minds and souls and spirit here this day. That those who are facing uncertain futures, Lord, may take these lessons to heart and say, God is going to be there with me every step of the way. And Lord, if there's somebody here who has not entered into this covenantal relationship with you, that cannot really enjoy any of these benefits, I pray, oh God, that those individuals would turn their hearts over to you, yield their lives to your future, and learn to walk in your ways. Thank you, Lord, for each mom, for what they represent. I pray a special blessing over them this day. And Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to walk alongside each and every one of us as we face our futures. For Christ's sake.
Amen.
Amen.